There are many people who take that term, Jesus took on flesh, for granted. It might be words on a card or words that they hear in church, and they never really make it all the way, that 16-inch journey from the head to the heart. That's a very long and important journey. The heart is and should truly be the filter for all important information. I just love John's Gospel. And when somebody comes into my office and says, I don't know where to start in reading the Bible, I tell them, oh, it's a good place to start in the beginning. Well, there's two in the beginnings. But the one that Jesus reveals himself so richly is the Gospel of John. So if you're struggling and you're trying to figure out where to go, John digs right in his Gospel, the very start of it. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is a very important phrase. In Greek, it's logos, or logos, as some people would say, but in Greek, it's logos. In the beginning was the logos. And that connection, right from the start, takes us all the way through the entire Bible, which is the written Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was in Genesis. John tells us the way in which the Bible, the long account of history, beginning with Genesis, comes to a climax through one person, Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh. Scripture tells us that in creation, God spoke everything into being. In Genesis, the climax of all creation is the arrival of humanity, mankind, on the sixth day, made in God's image. The climax of John chapter 1 is the arrival of another human, Jesus, the Word of God, taking his place as the perfect image of God, God himself. Throughout all the Old Testament, God repeatedly acts by means of his word. What he says happens. You can count on that. God is as good as his word. Psalm 33:6 tells us, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah about the word of God in Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's word has a purpose, which he always fulfills. God spoke again through Isaiah. Oh, Isaiah is so rich with prophecy about his word when he said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. There's no expiration date, although some would like to make it so. God's word is indelible. It's permanent. And John isn't shy about what he wants to tell us. The Word is a person, the second person of the Trinity, God himself. There's no denying the identity of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the beginning of time, for all eternity, the Word of God existed and is the Creator, not the created. When humanity fell from grace through disobedience, it could only be God himself who would step into time in order to save humanity from itself and its sin. I want you to hear verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We get forgiveness, enlightenment, and so much more simply because God loves us. And we open that free gift with no strings attached. That free gift is called grace. And this is, by the way, an eyewitness who's telling us who he saw and how he saw Jesus in this world. There's no requirement for this gift. It's a gift from God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, fulfilling the word Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came so that we could no longer live in fear of God's judgment and condemnation, so that we might have peace in our hearts, knowing that in Him we have complete forgiveness. The Apostle Paul reminds us, and please take this home with you today, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I want you to hear this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I pray that the scripture would stay in your heart. And the fact that there is no guilt involved with this. See, so many people carry around a tremendous baggage. You know, it's like, what's his name, Marley? Marley's carrying the chains and the weights, and he's carrying it around because Marley didn't get any forgiveness. But he warned Scrooge that he had to drop that and change his ways. Well, that's the way grace and forgiveness is with God. If you turn to Him and you simply say, Lord, I am sorry. Those chains are gone. Absolutely gone. That baggage is not for you to carry around. The enemy likes you to be reminded that when you were those things you did when you were younger, or maybe even yesterday, reminding you. And he loves to do this. It's like he's got a needle and he's just sticking it in and trying to tell you, remember when you did this? Get rid of it. If Jesus Christ is your Savior and you have repented of that sin, it no longer is with you. So don't even think about it. You're not Jacob Marley carrying around that chain. When Jesus Christ came into your life, that chain is broken. You have the freedom of His love, the freedom of His forgiveness. So let me repeat this again. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a gift. That's grace. Undeserved and free. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ is the very Word who was there at Genesis. And He put it from the very beginning. Through Him all things were made, and the One who contains life and light. It was the Word who took on darkness before creation and took on darkness in creation itself by taking on flesh, in which God says once more through Him, let there be light. Today's gospel, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The light of the world was right in the very midst of these people in Israel, and they pretended that they did not recognize Him. Jesus comes into the world, and the world preferred darkness to His light. And Jesus told the world very clearly in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Did you catch those first two words? I am. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. And then Jesus reminded them and us again in John chapter 9, verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then once again, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. John 12, 35 to 37. If you sit in a dark room with no windows, you can't see any objects in the room. And you'll be like Dick Van Dyke tumbling over the hassock. If you remember the Dick Van Dyke Show, I'm aging myself here. Well, even though there are objects there, you can't see them. You're not aware of them because of the darkness. But if someone turns on a light switch, things previously hidden from your eyes are now very obvious. Light reveals everything. Darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. It's a physical impossibility. Don't get angry at people, maybe in your family, in spiritual darkness, for not being able to see what's obvious to you. Instead, there's something that you can do for them. You can pray for them that God will bring the spiritual light into their life. You can let Christ's light shine through you, through your love, and not judgment. Jesus tries to tell the world to carry his light in them and let it shine. He told them this: "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And this is what I love: "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You're not doing good works to earn your way to heaven. It's out of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. I'll never forget the words that the Lord gave me at En Gedi on June 24th, 1999. And he said, "You must do this in grateful obedience." The living Word of God, Jesus himself, came to be the fulfillment of every prophecy that was made about the Messiah, the Anointed One, that God promised to his people. And John tells us in chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, the last two verses of today's gospel: "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." On the night before Jesus died, he told us who he is and how we can recognize him. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but through me." Many people like to stop there and they close the book and have a very nice day. Hear these words. Because Jesus didn't stop, he told Thomas and his disciples, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." The light of the world was right in their presence. Jesus told us he is truth, and therefore he speaks only truth. You can believe him and what he says. The living Word of God is the only way to the Father. He told that truth to Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish temple leadership who came to visit Jesus at night for fear of being caught. And Jesus shared with him the light of truth. He told him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And of course, people usually stop there. They fold up the book and start walking away. Jesus continued with the truth. He said, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged." Again, my brothers and sisters, if you believe in Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. You don't carry that Jacob Marley chain. It's gone. Jesus went on and he said, "He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And he says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. There you have it, John 3:16-21. And if you know Jesus Christ, you should have no fear of anything that you have done in your life, anything being done or known by anyone, because there's no judgment in that. But if you don't know Jesus, today is a very good day to start and ask him into your life and lose your chain. That, my brothers and sisters, is the truth. The Word took on flesh. We celebrate his incarnate deity today. He became man. However you want to say it, but there's no denying it. That's the truth. In closing, the creator of the universe could have come as a king in a palace, but instead he came in a manger where animals eat and sleep and other stuff. Well, let me put it this way. The king of creation accepted the limitations of infancy, submitting himself to be waited on and have everything done for him as a baby under the most appalling conditions, a filthy stable. He lowered himself to become just as one of us. He became poor so that we might become rich. God came to walk among us so that he might wrap his arms around us and embrace us. And God doesn't offer empty promises. By sending his son, God has fully shown us his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross, we can, through faith in him, enter into a loving relationship with God that has no expiration date. It's everlasting. And again, in Romans 8, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No strings attached, and no chains either. Let's make that connection today, from head to heart, that Jesus, the Word of God, took on flesh. He became man for you. St. Augustine once said, and I had this in our Christmas sermon, God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us. God loves you so much, it's personal. The Word took on flesh for you so that you can spend eternity with him. Now that's good news, don't you agree? That's why it's called the gospel. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.